Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear your voice, Kelly. And Tom, you always bring a smile to my face, brother.
Thank you. That's great. Good to hear you.
Oh, hey, Mark, we are looking at the 45th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and that's the law that gave license for women to choose to kill their babies in the womb during pregnancy. Why don't you just start off a little bit this morning and kind of share your thoughts on that as we look back at that anniversary and where things have come to this date?
Right. So let me start by telling everybody about the reportage that I find. One of the things that fascinates me is how people talk about any given event or subject or theme. And I always go to those with whom I most probably will disagree first, just to see where they're coming from. So I go to places like NPR, which is National Public Radio, or the New York Times, or WAPO, which is Washington Post. And as I was perusing their websites and seeing their front page pronouncements about this event, actually the pro-life march last Friday, and then of course yesterday was the actual anniversary of Roe v. Wade, what I find always is the underreporting by these mainstream media groups. So just give some examples of this. I smile and shake my head in derision when I see how they crop their photos. You know, there were probably 300,000 to 500,000, I'll say that again, 300,000 to 500,000 people on the mall in Washington, D.C. last Friday for the pro-life march. And the cropping of photos, if there were any photos, by the way, is always to kind of minimize how many people you can see in the photograph. Something else that's interesting, of course, is the wording that's used. So it's always anti-abortion forces or anti-abortion foes versus a pro-choice perspective. So it makes anybody out that is pro-life to be an enemy, basically. Now, there have been some changes in the mainstream media. Washington Post had, in part, for instance, some better overall coverage. And I think part of that is owed to the fact that Jeff Bezos of Amazon actually bought Washington Post some years ago and added a number of conservative commentators as well as Christians, including Sarah Pulliam Bailey, who's the daughter of Russ Pulliam, whose family used to own the Indianapolis Star. She continues to be an outspoken Christian, as does he. And I think some of those things at Washington Post give some hope for the mainstream media. But generally speaking, the press underreported and kind of minimized the pro-life position.
That's a good way to put it, underreported. I did hear one that was just a slant, the so-called March for Life. Why would they have to add the so-called in front of it? But anyway, did you Dr. Mark, know anybody personally who attended the rally?
Yes, actually, I was sitting with a student yesterday who had just returned from Washington, D.C., one of our Comenius students that I meet with at IUPUI on campus there. And she was telling me about this pro-life march. And of course, as I just mentioned, hundreds of thousands of people there. She said President Trump spoke live from the Rose Garden via video from the White House. But one of the things that my student friend noted was the overwhelming attendance by Catholic believers. In a vast crowd, she said it was hard for her to tell if there were any Protestant evangelicals there. But she said all of the signs that she saw were of Catholic believers, which is one of the things I think that is most striking and sad to me in our history. In the 1970s, really, when Roe v. Wade was passed by the Supreme Court, it was really the Catholic Church that stood up as a pro-life group. And since that time, continues to carry the ball for us in many respects, though many of us have joined, obviously, since that particular time, this movement. Nonetheless, that was her experience. She had a great time, had great opportunities to meet lots of good people there. It was a great experience for her.
Hey, I want to let all of you know, by the way, Mark has a website, warpandwoof.org. You can go there and read a little bit more about his thoughts and views on what we're talking about this morning and some other really thought-provoking content as well. But Mark, on your website, you've written an essay entitled Pro-Science, Pro-Life. Talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, so something that popped up in my reading this last week was from The Atlantic, which is not necessarily a conservative, certainly not a Christian perspective, but they gave this and published this particular piece entitled Pro-Life, Pro-Science. And one of the things that was fascinating to me was the emphasis by Emma Green, who's a great writer, I would add, from The Atlantic. And this is what she was saying. She was actually quoting a mom who was contending for a pro-life position. And she said that new technology makes it easier to understand the humanity of a growing child and imagine this child as a creature with moral status. And pro-life leaders have increasingly come to the side of science in this regard. Well, when you stop to think about this, you know, we live in a science-obsessed culture. And so one of the things that this mom pointed out was this, and this is, I'm quoting her, quote, when you're seeing a baby sucking its thumb at 18 weeks, smiling and clapping, it becomes harder to square the idea that 20-week-old, that unborn baby is discardable, end quote. And I think that's a really powerful statement. So all of the science that we know here is really important and valuable. Something I think that The Atlantic brought out very well, and I wanted to make sure everybody read that article.
So why do you yourself, because of this science or because of your faith, or crystallize it, bring it down to home, why are you so pro-life and why should we?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I'll be real straight up and say this. I do not need science to tell me that my grandchildren, while in the womb, were human, needing protection, care, and compassion. The pro-life movement does not depend on science for its truth. So here's what I'm going to say to everybody. All human life has worth, value, and dignity only because we are made in God's image. And that is the key to all of this. And we go back to Genesis right at the beginning, and we understand this basic concept. If we are not truly human in the womb, then we are not truly human outside the womb. I'll say that again. If we're not truly human in the womb, then we are not truly human outside the womb. I'm glad science can affirm a pro-life position, but I'm pro-life not because of science, but because God said, let's make humans in our image.
Mark, what more do you think that everybody who's listening this morning to us talking can do to support pro-life positions? You know, I've seen pictures of your adorable little grandson on your Facebook page, and I remember when my son was a tiny little guy. I can't imagine life without him. I'm sure you can't imagine life without your grandson. And I guess for me and the standpoint from which I come, it's mind-boggling to me to think that we do just discard human life. What more can we do to help people see why we need to be pro-life?
Do good, do good, do good. And it's based on Titus chapter 3, verses 1, 8, and 14, that repetitious command there in the book of Titus. When I talk about doing good, I'll just give some of these ideas. We need to participate at the local level. Some of us kind of go to the national level automatically, and we begin to think about electing certain officials. Participate at the local level. Get involved in a crisis pregnancy center. If you see your neighbors or your friends in need, young people that are making very difficult decisions, go help those folks. Celebrate life with people. Encourage moms and dads and children. Hey, give some time maybe to go babysit for 4 hours so mom and dad can get away for a little bit. So that they can go and celebrate life together as well. But always celebrating everybody in the home, moms, dads, children, everybody. Bottom line, you know, Jesus said it best, quoting Leviticus 8:19, and that is to love your neighbor as you love God. That's a demonstration of a pro-life position.
Good words as always, Mark. Thanks so much. Mark is the president of the Comenius Institute, and his website is warpandwoof.org. God bless you, brother. Good to catch up with you.
Thank you so much, Tom, and blessings to you, Kelly, and everybody on radio. Love Moody Radio. Continue your good work.